It is a good day to be alive. And I have a word, it might not be long. I don't know how long it will be, but it's something that is stirring in my heart. And to be honest with you, I rewrote it a few times. And in the end of the day, I gave up. And I said, you know what, I'll just share my heart. And we'll see what the Lord tries to tell us today. Amen. The title of my message today, it's Unexpected Answered Prayer. And I'm thinking in my life, in the family where I grew up, and probably all of us have prayed for something. And so often when we pray, we expect God to answer right away. We would want God to come and just answer our cry and our prayer right there where we're at. And often it doesn't happen. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, we read the promises of God. And we take them to the prayer closet again, and we begin to pray for those promises to be ours. And yet we still find ourselves so far away from those things that the Word of God is calling us to be. And we almost lose hope. We live a life that year after year or month after month, we look back and we can say nothing happened. And I'm talking about people that actually serving the Lord. I'm not talking about people that are in compromise, are in sin, and they live in a rebellious life, and God doesn't answer their prayer because they're just rebelling. I'm not talking about that category of people. I'm actually going to talk to a people today that actually are walking upright before God, that their hearts are open before Him. They're reading the Word. They're trying to just walk this walk the way the Bible calls us to do it. And even in those moments when we think that we have it all together, when we pray and God still, in our opinion, delays. And sometimes we just give up. Sometimes we turn away and we say, you know what? It's not true what I thought to be true. My hope that I have put into this thing called faith in Christ, it's come to an end, that I get so disappointed that even the things that I pray according to the Word of God, it seems like are not getting answered. And you might even get in your latter days that you might think some of the prayers when you were praying when you were young are not even answered. Maybe it's about your family, maybe it's about your friends or coworkers or whatever it is. Maybe it's some things in your life that are going on and you pray these prayers. And yet, year after year, for 10, 15, 20 years have passed, and yet you're looking back and you're saying, God did not answer my prayer. And we almost can be tempted to give up. We can almost come to a point in life to be disappointed and get discouraged and say, you know what, this is not working for me. But I want to share a story from the Word of God. And I hope all of us will be encouraged through this story. And we'll put our faith and trust in Almighty God again. Because He's never late. He might delay, but He's never late. And even when we give up to pray, when even we give up on some of the things that He has promised us in our life, when even we give up on those things that we're asking Him to do, it comes a moment. And that prayer that we prayed many years ago, it's unexpectedly answered. It is because God has its own timing. It is because God is not just moved when we just say, show up. Because God wants us to move together with Him, not for Him to move with us. He wants us to be inclined in the Word of God. And no matter what happens in our life, for our faith and trust to be still in Him. And I know I'm young, I don't have a whole lot of experience in life. And you might say, Pavel, you're just preaching theory here, because I lived 50, 60, 70 years around and I know a little, I've lived a little longer than you and I know a little more than you, and this is true. But one thing that I want to share, that God has been faithful to me as well. There were moments in my life when I prayed and nothing changed. But that actually compelled me to run to Him even closer. When things seemed around me that they were not working, when things seemed around me that they were crumbling, when the things in my life, that some stupid things that I chose to do, they were right there staring in my eyes and were dictating my life and telling me that there is no future, I had to run back to God. and asking Him to come, deliver me, bring freedom in my life, bring a future, a hope. And this is what God did in my life. And I know it hasn't been a whole lot of experiences that you probably haven't experienced, but it's enough for me to say God is faithful, that God is merciful, that He answers prayers, that He answers the cry of our hearts when we come to Him. It might not be in that moment that we're asking, but it's going to come a day that He will answer. And He wants us to wait patiently upon the Lord. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The passage that I would like to read for all of us together, if you can open up with me, Luke chapter 1. I know we're coming to the Christmas season, and we're going to hear a lot about the birth of Jesus, but this actually took place right before Jesus was born. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25 says this. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 25. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. I want all of us to pay attention to verse 6 right here. And they were all righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. Verse 7. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the ordinance of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at this birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drinks. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands at the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you this glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he benumbed them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." To this place, praise God. I know it's a long story, and I had a little bit of trouble probably reading it, because my mind is everywhere. But I want to just bring a little bit back. Luke is writing the story, but what happened actually before the story took place? We all know that there is Old Testament and New Testament. And when I was reading the story, it brought me back to the last book of the Bible. And when we read this book in Malachi, actually, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, actually, it's quoting. Luke is quoting from this book. And he's saying that there shall come a man, that he shall turn the heart of the father towards the children. He was talking about the Israelite nation, the Jewish nation, and the children back to their father to walk in obedience. And he's prophesying all these things that are going to happen. And this is actually how this book ends. And we all know that there was about 400 years of silence. God did not speak orally through the prophets to the nation. We all know that when we read the history, the Israelites began to live in compromise. They began to just live the way they wanted to live. Some people, they still obeyed the law and they still tried to please God, but there were people that actually turned away from God. And they were looking for different things to satisfy their souls and to satisfy their flesh and to be able to just live their lives. And yet the Bible says that there was this couple. They were once young like all of us. They once got married like some of us. And they lived their lives. And all of us know that the joy in a family, when we gather together, when we get married, it's so much joy, and we look with anticipation to have a child, to be able to have this laughter and yet noise around us. This joy that is going to bring into our lives. It almost seems that the life is not completed without a child. It almost seems like a promise of life that is given to marriage, a beautiful thing that happens. It's not there. And this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were living their life. And it's not just they were just living their life. The Bible says they were righteous before God. They were doing everything upright before Him. They were walking before Him how the Word of God called them to walk. They trusted Him. And yet they were living this life. And whatever what they were praying for, it seemed like it was not there. Whatever what they were putting their just hopes, maybe tomorrow this life will come. Maybe tomorrow this child will be born and we'll have laughter in our home. We'll have such a joy in our home. And year after year they were praying for a child. And this child was never there. But a thought crossed this morning my mind when I was praying. Maybe actually they were not just praying for a child. But because they were upright, because they were righteous people, maybe they were reading the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They knew where the book of Malachi ended. And they were saying, you know what? We're going to pray for this prophet to raise up again. Because God has promised one more time to send a prophet before Jesus is going to come. And He's going to bring a word. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And maybe they were praying not just for a child, but they were praying for this prophecy to be fulfilled. It's just a thought came to my mind. God, they were walking before You. They were coming so many times in the temple. They were coming serving You. And they had such a passion and desire to see a promise of God being fulfilled in their life. In different words, God has promised through Malachi that it's going to come a man. He's going to come in the, it's almost like a foreshadow of Elijah. And He's going to prepare the path before the Messiah. And it was something more, I believe, in Zacharias' heart to see. He was waiting for something more in his life to see. And all his life was waiting to see this prophet, to see this child, to see Messiah. And he's just asking year after year. Year after year, nothing happens. And yet, like a custom, he just came again to the temple, burning incense and doing what he probably has done before. And yet, he probably even forgot about that prayer because he was already in older age. And he forgot probably about that prayer that he prayed many years ago. He probably even forgot, and it seemed like there is no more hope. It's 400 years of silence. God is not speaking to us. And can you imagine when you're getting in a routine that God does not speak? Even when the angel appeared to him, he probably was afraid. It's not probable, but he was afraid, the Bible says. They were not used to things like that. It was not a custom in those days for an angel to come and just speak, because God was not speaking for 400 years. It's almost like they were left alone, full of despair and hopelessness. But Zacharias, he knew that God has promised that he's going to come a prophet one more time. God will raise up a man again one more time. And he will bring forth the word of God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will prepare the way for the Lord. He will turn the nation of Israel back to God. He will preach the gospel again one more time. He will say, repent, for the day of the Lord has come. And Zacharias was waiting for that day. But yet maybe he did not know that it was actually him who God is going to use for the word of God to be fulfilled. It was actually going to be him that the promise of God will be fulfilled through. And he was afraid. He was greatly afraid. And he did not believe that. He said, who, me? My life. Look at me. I'm old already. My wife Elizabeth, she's barren. She can't have children. We're old already. Our life is done already. But let me tell you something. God can use your life at 80 years old, at 20 years old, at 40 years old. It doesn't matter of your age. What matters is when we give our life to Him and trust in Him, He's able to do anything through our life. Nothing is too small in the sight of God when we give our lives to Him and expect Him to move through us. And God came and says, it would be a good thing. It would be a happy moment when this happens. And I would like for all of us to just look at verse 12 again. And when Zacharias saw him, he was strongly afraid, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers is heard. In different words, he's saying Zacharias was just praying because maybe he got used to pray. But now an angel of the Lord comes and says, your prayers are being heard. Your prayers are going to be answered. And now Zacharias is the one that says, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. It almost seems like unexpected prayer. The one that he prayed many years ago. Now the angel is coming and saying, I'm going to fulfill it through you. And it was the custom during those times that if you had a boy, you would name that boy of the father's name. And they wanted to do that, but no. He says that his name is going to be John. And later on, let's read it again. Verse 13, he says, but the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drinks. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16, he says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I believe in my heart that when the angel of the Lord was telling him these things, it's a quote actually from the book of Malachi. I believe that Zacharias, probably knowing the Old Testament, he probably realized, my gosh, the Bible is being fulfilled in my life when I thought that there was no hope for me. Actually, the prophecy that was given, the last words from the Old Testament, God is going to use my life after 400 years of silence. He's speaking to me right now and he's going to bring forth his promise. And this is why he did not believe. I think it was probably more of, can this really happen in my life? Can this really happen? Not just a child, but the child that is going to be walking in the power and the might of the prophet of Elijah. He's going to be preparing the way for the Messiah. And he's going to be able to fulfill the prophecy. It was a promise They seemed dead for 400 years. And yet alive in Zachariah's life when he was in elderly age. Where are some of the prophecies or the words or the things that God has spoken to our lives that are according to his word? And maybe there has been a lot of years of silence. But God is not giving up on you. He's not just going to pass by you and say that I forgot about those words. He's not just saying I'm going to fulfill those, but through other generations. Through other people's life, because you're no good for me. No. Whatever what God said, he's going to be bring it to completion. Because his word is not just turning void, but his word is true in our life. What are some of the things that when we came into our prayer closet and we were praying for God to answer us and to move, and it seems like he's not answering us? Are you ready to give up? Are you ready to say that through me? What are some of those prayers that we're praying secretly that nobody even knows about? And we're even embarrassed to share with somebody because those prayers are not being answered. And there's been 400 years of silence, so to speak. All your life, there's been a silence in your life. You feel like nothing has been changing. There is no word in your life. There is not an anointing in your life because you feel you're dry. You're empty. And the thought might come that maybe God will do this through other people. Through other families, through my fellow brothers and sisters, but not through me, not through my life. Maybe God is faithful to somebody else, but not me. And you're looking at your life and you're saying that I'm walking upright before the Lord, as verse 6 says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And you're saying, my life is upright before him. I trusted my life to him. I gave my life to him. I repented of my sins. I'm walking by the Spirit. And yet my prayers are not answered. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that God is never too late. Some of the prayers we might not see till we're gonna be in our deathbed. Some of the prayers we might not see answered till we're gonna be barely walking around, knowing that our days are short. I have a friend who, his grandmother was praying for their children to be saved for years, years and years. And it seemed nothing was happening. The children were living in the world, sinning and doing all the things that the world does. And yet when she was in her deathbed, just laying down and waiting for that moment to come that she can go into eternity. One more time, she cried out for the Lord for the promises that she had from God to be alive. And during that time, all her children came to the Lord. All her children came to the Lord. It's a miraculous thing that can happen in our life. And she could have said, you know what, it's over. Even my faith in you, God, I don't know. I want to question now because you did not answer me. You promised me this and this is not happening. But God is never too late. He always answers the prayer. Same thing in Zechariah's life. They were waiting for this child, but God gave them more than a child. God was able to give them the promise that he had promised. What is going to come before the Messiah? Maybe you're asking God to do something in your life. But I want to encourage you not to give up, because God is more able and willing to do more than you ask. More than you expect. And he's never too late. He's never too late. What is it in your life that you want God to answer? What is it in your life that you've been praying for years and it seems like nothing is there? And maybe for the next few years, nothing is going to be there. But I want to tell you something, that God cares for those things more than you and I put together. God cares for your family that are walking with the Lord more than I care and you put together. God cares for your situation that you're dealing with, for the struggles that you're going through. He cares more than we care together. because He loves us so much. And He wants to bring forth that what He promised to us. But are we willing to stay to the end, unshakable? Are we willing to put our trust and faith in Him no matter what? That even when we forget that we prayed those prayers and He come unexpected and He answers those prayers, are we going to be able to embrace this and say, by the mercy and the grace of God, I was able to stand? What are those things that you're praying for? Maybe those are marriages that are not strong. Maybe a relationship that are unhealthy. Maybe are some of the things that we struggle in our life that we're going through and we're crying out to the Lord day and night. Maybe it's relationship between kids. Maybe it's just a family structure that has just been all destructed and everything seemed that what seemed that it was good once, now it's just gone. And you're crying out to the Lord for a miracle. Maybe it's something that you have held on to a promise of the Lord. And it seems like there is no hope. It seems like there is no future. It seems like the time has passed and you're not even praying about it. You don't even want to pray about it because you're so bitter probably. You probably got so mad and so upset that you don't even want to pray about those things. But when the angel appeared to Zacharias, he says, your prayers has been answered. Maybe today is the day that God is going to speak to your heart that your prayer has been answered. That your kids will serve the Lord. That your marriage will become strong again. That your life will be full of freedom, walking in the Lord, not with things of compromise and all of this world. That you will have a passion and a heart again for God and the things of God. That you will prosper and not die. That you will rise up again and walk in the liberty that the Lord is calling us to walk. That you will have a child, so to speak. And what does a child represent? It can represent many things, but it's life. It's a future. It's hope for tomorrow. And it seems like everything is dead around you. But God is speaking life again. He's going to give you this promise. You're going to come and you're going to be rejoicing with God alone and with many people around you. Because God is able to fulfill what He said He's going to do in your life. You will have this child. This child belongs to you. This life belongs to you. The promises of God belongs to us, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are not just to read about them, but we are to partake from them. Zacchaeus read about this promise that was written in Malachi. But yet his life was able to come and he was able to come partake from that promise. And to say this promise is not just for somebody, but it's for me and God is going to fulfill this promise in my life. Don't just stand there as a Church of Jesus Christ, as a body of Christ, as a believer in Christ, just looking on the side to see how other people partake from the promises of God. It's available for all of us. Do we believe? Do we believe to come one more time and say, God, I give up, but I'm running again into the temple. I'm coming again and I'm going to do what I did. And I'm going to expect you to show up and to remind me that you have heard my prayers. That you have heard my cry, that you have heard my pain, and you're gonna come and heal me, and you're gonna come and bring future and liberty to my life. Because they belong to me. Praise God. They belong to me. God is able to do more than we're asking Him to do. Because we, as the children of Jesus Christ, belong to Him. And those promises that are in the Word of God, they're ours. They're ours. Maybe there's going to come a moment where we're going to read like Zacharias read them in the Old Testament. But let's pray that those promises come alive in us today. That we don't just read about them, but they're going to come alive in us. And freedom will come. Hope will come. And we're going to prepare the way. Not for the Lord now to come because He already came. But we will be those messengers that will go to our neighbors, go to our surrounding areas, go to our friends and be able to prepare the way, so to speak. Tell them about this good news. And I want to end with this story. When Elizabeth was pregnant already, she was trying to hide it. She was elderly already. But it came a moment when during that time also Mary had a promise. Mary had a promise. And she became pregnant. But not with John. Not with John the Baptist. Not with John that will come and prepare the way for the Lord, but with the very, very Christ. With the very Son of God that was promised actually from the Old Testament. And when it was a moment when they came and they saw each other and when they greeted each other, the Bible says that the baby leaped in the womb and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful, powerful scripture right there. That even though the promise was given, they believed in the promise, they had the promise. It was in the womb, but it seems like that baby was not kicking or moving, was just chilling there. And it came a moment when they came and greeted each other. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped with joy at the evidence of a promise that came alive in your life. She became joyful. The Holy Spirit filled her, and the presence of God was there. Do you feel like you're not joyful anymore? Do you feel like your life has been, even though you seem like you have the promise, but there is no fruit in that promise? I want you to think about it. When you come to Christ and you ask Him, my prayers and your prayers for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To speak with other tongues. To rejoice in Him. To jump up and down. To rejoice in Christ. Because there is future in Him. To have boldness in our hearts. One more time. To stand for what is right. To walk in the strength of God. To go forward in the mercy of God. To be able to rejoice in the promise of God. Not just to ask and ask and ask, but to be able to rejoice in the promise of God. To ask for the Holy Spirit to come and lift us up. For us to be joyful one more time. That God has never failed us. Even though when He seemed like He did not. And He's never late when even though He seems like He's late. But He comes just in time. Why? Because He wants all our trust and faith to be put on Him. So we don't run after Him because He gives us something. Because the most precious thing that He was able to give us, He already gave us. His Son, Jesus Christ. And He died on a cross for my sin and for your sin. And for when those two women got together, when they greeted each other, there was such a joy because the promises, both promises, were fulfilled. John the Baptist is going to be born shortly. And Jesus Christ is on the way to bring salvation and freedom from sin. And this is the season that we're going to enter in the next month or so. It's called Christmas. And let's not forget why we live. Why Christ has come and died on a cross. What happened before Christ came. That silence that God did not speak to people, but now He's speaking to us. That moment of dryness, that moment of wilderness that happened before the Old Testament, the New Testament, now it's gone. And now we can come boldly before Him. Boldly. Boldly, do you hear me? We can come boldly before Him. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus Christ did not leave us to die. But the promises again were fulfilled. Because somebody believed. Because somebody believed. Praise God. Let's stand together. I'm going to make this altar call. And it's going to be twofold. If your prayers you feel like are not answered and your promises are not answered, I would like for you to come and join me here. And we're going to pray for God to answer our cry and to answer our prayer. And the other prayer is even when we feel like God has promised us and we have something, but it seems like we don't have life. There is no leaping inside of us. Once you were such on a fire for the Lord, once you were just doing things and not of your own strength, but because God has done so much for you and as a result, you did all these things and now you feel like you're just chilling. There is no motivation. There is no fight in you. There is no fire in you. I want to come and invite you. I want you to come and to meet with Christ one more time. And my prayer is for the Spirit of the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you so you can be rejoicing again. And for this baby, so to speak, for this promise to leap again in you, for you to feel again that there is a fight in you. There's a future, there is a promise that it's in you. And your life is not over where you're at. But it's just the beginning for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and are willing to see what God can do to their life. Amen. Praise God. During the song, if this is you, come join me here up front and we'll be praying together. God bless you. Our God is good, amen. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. And for those that are here front and for those that are in the sanctuary, God is faithful. Don't give up. Whatever you're asking, if you're asking according to His word and according to His will, you'll be fulfilled. Hold on to the promises of God. It might be seeming late to you, but it's never too late for Him. It might seem like you already forgot about something that you were praying long time ago. But God is going to come and surprise you unexpectedly. And my prayer is when this happens, that this promise in you will be leaping out of joy and happiness. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be showering because He's faithful. Because He's faithful. Praise God. Praise God. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's thank Him because He's good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you today, oh God. We lift up our hands to you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we can hope. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to read just the promises that have happened 400 years ago or 1,000 years ago. God, but we can be people that partake from those promises. We can be the people that you will fulfill the promises through our lives. Only if we yield them, our lives to you. Only when we give our lives to you and walking according to your word, you're willing to work through us, to change us and mold us. God, I thank you that we are just not readers of your promises, but we are going to be partakers of your promises. We're not just going to read about how you bring life into people, how you bring life into situations, but we're declaring victory and we want to partake in that life, oh God. I'm asking you to answer our cry and answer our prayer. If there are things in our life that we have been asking and praying for years, God, I'm asking you, let this day be a day when this promise will be leaping inside of us. And again, we're going to put our faith and trust in you, knowing that the day has come when you answered our cry, when you answered our prayer, and you're going to bring forth the fruit, the life that you have promised us. Oh God, I'm asking you, Jesus, give us the strength never to give up, but always to run to you, even when it seems dark around us. Lord, you are the light and we are coming to you. We're running towards you. Jesus, answer our cry. We love you and we pray you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing this one song one more time. You're a good, good Father. And I would encourage you, let's just raise our hands, close our eyes, and just sing that He's good. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. Let's do this one more time. I would like to ask Dr. Colin if she would like to close us and pray for us, bless all of us. We are the children of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And all of us matter in the sight of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for such a simple and a moving word. And I know, you know, I was thinking about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, they prayed all those years, Pavel, didn't they, Pastor Pavel, for a child. But, you know, when they got it. They got it when they, at the end, they had to raise that child in an atmosphere of prayer and praise because he wasn't a special promise. He was a special promise. And maybe they weren't ready at a certain point when they wanted it so much. But God knew that they didn't need to provide that child with the latest of sneakers or all the gizmos. They needed to raise that child in an atmosphere of praise and faith. And at the right time, that promise came. And I know that God today loves us and He is building us. in a trust level. And that promise is going to come at the most perfect time. And we please God by having faith in Him. So I just praise God today that our just standing and saying, You are a good Father and You love me. And those things that You promised me are going to come at Your perfect time because You are perfect in all Your ways. And I thank You, You're building into me a life of prayer and praise, because when that promise comes, it's going to be nurtured and raised in that right atmosphere. That little boy was raised in an atmosphere of praise and prayer, exactly what was needed to make him a forerunner of Christ. So whatever He's promised you today, we can wait on Him. He's perfect. Let's bless Him today. Let's please Him by just a faith that says, You are good, and I'm waiting on You in Your perfect time. So, Lord, I thank You for this wonderful word. Lord, this word in season. You are perfect in all Your ways. So we thank You, Lord. You who made a promise, You are not a man that You should lie. And You will be faithful to bring that promise to birth. It will live. It will be a blessing for me, but it will be a blessing. I will bring forth a blessing to other people. So I wait on You. I trust You. I have faith in You, a faith that pleases You, O God, because I declare what You promised me, You will bring it forth in Your time. You don't have to wait on me, O Lord. I wait on You, and I will be blessed by waiting on You. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful time in Your house today. Thank You for this word, O God, that will follow us through the week. Thank You, You're going to help us trust You because it pleases You. Thank You, Your favor is upon us. Thank You, You are for us. Thank You, You love us. We thank You today because You're such an amazing, a good Father, a perfect Savior, and You fill us with the Holy Ghost. So let us go now released in Your favor and Your love today. Lord, we trust You. You're perfect in all Your ways. In Your precious name, are we blessed? Do we have life? I ask You now to bless Pastor Pavel, Haley, Aliana, all that concerns them. Thank You for letting this man of God bring to us a living word today. We bless You for him and this whole service. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.